Good morning. How are you guys today? Well, my name is Justin Schlabaugh, and welcome to Freshman Class Chapel. I am the Freshman Class Chaplain, and today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 through 18. So if you want to turn there, that would be stellar. I just want to say that it has truly been an honor to serve as Freshman Class Chaplain. You guys as a student body have just been so encouraging and inspiring. It's amazing how you want your love for Jesus to be known out in the world and here on campus. That is so encouraging. Also, I want to thank my family and my friends for coming down from Worcester, Ohio. So thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you guys very much. So thank you. Well, in honor of the reading of the Word of God, would you stand as I read? Starting in verse 5, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You guys can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, God, speak to us today through your word. Allow us to see what you want us to learn in this passage. God, help us to learn that when we cast our gaze on you, we will carry the good news of the gospel with humility and perseverance. Lord, speak to us today. In your name I pray, amen. So the main idea that I got from this text was when we cast our gaze on Christ, we will carry the gospel with humility and perseverance. When we cast our gaze on Christ, we will carry the gospel with humility and perseverance. And so the way I broke up this text is in three sections. And the first section is humility, which is verses 5 through 7. The second section is persecution and trial, which is verses 8 through 15. And the third section is perseverance, which is verses 16 to 18. So let's take a quick look at verses 5 and 6, starting off the humility section. For what we proclaim is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants' sake, or your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we see here that what we proclaim, what we are sharing, is not of ourselves, but from Jesus. And that should produce humility, because God is giving us the ability to share his gospel and to partake in his church. And then we see in verse 6 where it says, let light shine out of darkness, and it has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so that right there shows that God has gifted us with this ministry and gifted us with the ability to share the gospel and to carry the good news of the gospel. And because it comes from God and not our power, that produces humility. And so let's take a look at verse 7, where it says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." There's an interesting illustration in here where it's talking about jars of clay. You see, jars of clay are ordinary. They're easily broken, even though they look durable. Oftentimes, clay jars were thrown out. They were cheap, and they were a common item that everyone knew about. And they were simple. And if one was walking down the street and was like, "Yo, look at my clay jar," everybody would be like, "What are you talking about?" Because there's nothing special about them. You see, as we look at the jar of clay, it describes us. We look as if we have it all together. We look like we can do great things by ourselves. And we love to imagine it too. We love to be the heroes of the story. We often want to do these amazing things by ourselves, but we often overestimate ourselves. We have good intentions, but can never fully experience what we truly want to do on our own power. And the funny thing is, when we do experience something good, we like to claim it for ourselves. We often claim that God is the treasure inside of us, but our hearts want to boast in our achievements that we think we get by our own power. But the truth is, the achievements come from God anyway. And so the power that we boast in is the treasure that we carry. And the treasure that we carry is the glory of the gospel. Let me say that again. The power that we boast in is in the treasure that we carry. And the treasure that we carry is the glory of the gospel. You see, even though we are weak and easily broken, the most beautiful and most powerful treasure lives within us. And that is the gift of the gospel. How lovely is it that Christ gives us a chance to take part in his ministry, even when we would be compared to as a jar of clay, which is so ordinary. But my friends, right there is a picture of the gospel. How weak we are as sinful human beings, but Christ still allows us to play a role in something as beautiful as his ministry, such as partaking in the church, or being able to hear from God from his word, or being able to have a one-on-one conversation with God through prayer, or being able to share the good news of the gospel that has been entrusted to us. That is such a beautiful privilege. And so we see that this power is from God. And so when we cast our gaze on Christ, it will allow us to carry the gospel with humility. So the second section I want to take a look at is the persecution and trial section. And so I'm going to read to you verses 8 through 10. "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies." And so as we take a look at verse 8, where it says, "We are afflicted in every way." You see, as people, we are never immune to trials. We have trouble on every side of us, and everywhere we look is a place where we could jump into a trial or get us into trouble. And these trials look differently for each one of us. And whether that would be a mental trial, you know, dealing with fear and anxiety, which is something that I deal with on the daily. Or maybe it's a physical trial, you know, an injury or a disease or a sickness that is just taking a toll on your body. Or maybe it's an emotional trial, you know, broken relationships, broken friendships, and broken family bonds that take time to repair, and that causes a trial out of them. We all go through these in different ways. Sometimes it feels like when we aren't going through trials, it's almost too good to be true. Like it's only a matter of time before something comes up and trips me up in the race that I'm running. And so for me, I'm a big Marvel fan, and I think there's a good illustration in the Marvel universe. And it comes from the third Thor movie called Thor Ragnarok. That's right, yeah, great movie. And so throughout this movie, Thor and his brother Loki are working to defeat their evil sister who wants to destroy their kingdom. And they, throughout the movie, they take steps and steps to finally defeat her. And when they do, it ends up destroying their planet. But luckily, they get all the citizens of their kingdom on a ship, and they take them, and they're going to a place of refuge. And in the post-credits scene of this movie, Loki is standing there with his brother Thor, and he stands there and goes, do you think it's a good idea for me to go back to Earth? And that's where they're going to find refuge. And Thor looks at him and is like, probably not. But I think everything's going to work out. I think everything is going to work out fine. And the funny thing is, as soon as Thor says that, a ship pulls up right in front of their ship. And it turns out to be Thanos' ship. And if you know anything about Thanos, it means he's not good news. And it starts Infinity War, which ultimately is the biggest battle that they're ever going to face. And so you look at Thor and Loki, and they just went through this major trial where their planet was destroyed. And then you see them here. They're finally like, man, I can take a deep breath. We got our people. It's okay. And then they see a ship come up, and they're about to enter into the biggest battle that they're ever going to face. You see, I feel like we can relate to this overwhelming feeling of, dude, like, are you kidding me? I just went through this trial, and now I have to go through another one. Can I catch a break? Can I get a breath of fresh air? But the thing is, we are going to experience suffering because we must be like Jesus in his suffering so that we will be like him in the life that he gives. I think it says it best in Romans 6:5. Where it says, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will surely be united with him in a resurrection like his. In these struggles, in these trials, in this persecution, there is hope because we are kept close with Christ in the power of the gospel. For if we walked alone during these trials, we would be driven to despair, we would be forsaken, and we would be destroyed. But the encouraging thing is in verse 11, it says, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. My friends, we are afflicted for Jesus' sake. We are perplexed for Jesus' sake. We are persecuted for Jesus' sake. And we are struck down for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Christ may be manifested within us. So during these trials, take courage, my friends, because even though you are suffering, you are taking part and representing something so much greater than yourself, and that is the gospel. Take courage, my friends, because even though you are suffering, you are representing something so much greater than yourself, and that is the gospel. And so we take a look at verse 12 where it says, so death is at work in us, but life in you. And so here, death, affliction, is kind of the same thing. And so we look at this and we're gonna go through temporary, light, momentary affliction in order to produce the life of Christ within us. We are experiencing death so that we can produce the life of Christ within us. And I know what you're probably thinking. You're probably thinking, Justin, you have no idea what I am going through. How could you say that my affliction is temporary? How could you say that it's light? How could you say that it's momentary? But I'll tell you, looking in the aspect of eternity and compared to Jesus, Jesus is infinitely better than any trial that you are gonna face. And compared to Jesus, it is temporary, it is light, and it is momentary. And I know this sounds crazy, but it is so true. And so we take a look at verse 13, where it says, since we have the same spirit of faith to what has been written, I believe, so I spoke. We also believe, so we also speak. Keeping your gaze on Christ produces actions that represent Christ. Keeping your gaze on Christ produces actions that represent Christ. And so if we keep our eyes focused on God and we don't focus on the things that are coming at us, good or bad, through the trials and the blessings, and we keep our eyes focused on the Lord, it will produce actions that represent Christ. Because if our eyes are fixated on Christ, we will talk and we will act in whatever we believe in. We will talk and we will act in whatever we believe in. And so for me, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. And yeah, that's right, yeah. And for so long, I'm gonna be honest, the Cleveland Browns were so bad. They were unbelievably bad, okay? But this year, they started to make progress and they're looking better. They also got a super great wide receiver. And so to me, they're gonna win their division. They're gonna go to the playoffs. And I wouldn't complain if they won a Super Bowl. That's just my prediction. You guys can take that however you want. Yes, that's right. So, but I want to pinpoint something that happened 2 years ago. The Cleveland Browns went 0-16. They didn't win a single football game all year, okay? And yet, I still found myself talking more about the Browns than I did about the gospel. And I thought to myself, why would I talk about something, a football team, who is so unbelievably bad, but not talk about the gospel, which is so unbelievably good? It's often easy to talk about the gospel during the good times of life. When things are going well, we have no problem with saying, yeah, God is good, the gospel is good, when we feel blessed. But if the gospel is so important to us as it is in the good times, it should be just as important to us in our trials. Because our trials reveal that the worldly things that we pursue can leave us empty and with nothing. And when we have nothing, we have nowhere to turn to. But let me tell you, Jesus becomes really sweet when we see that he is all we have. Jesus becomes really sweet when we see that he is all we have. We need to realize that we are representatives of Christ in the good times and in the bad times, when we have everything and when we have nothing. God is the same on your sunniest day as he is on your darkest day. And so then we take a look at verses 14 and 15. So I'm going to read to you 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord will the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring with you into his presence. You see, God the Father rose Jesus from the dead, and he will raise us also, as it says in verse 14. And so, even though we are suffering, we are making the glory of God being revealed. And the glory of God is so much more worth it than our comfort. So if we have to walk through a trial in order for God to be glorified more than God being glorified in our comfort, then that is so much more worth it. Because then we look in verse 15 where it says, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. As you endure these trials, grace extends to more and more people and puts the glory of God on display. And that also produces humility. We see that in the bad times, we realize that we can't get through them on our own, and we have to rely on Christ. And realizing that we can't do it on our own power makes us humble and produces humility. But it also produces thankfulness, realizing that God is the one who walks with us through these trials and will raise us out of them. And we will be thankful for that because we see the glory of God in our trial and seeing him raise us out of that. You see, thankful people put the glory of God on display. And so, when you're going through these trials, we often run to our friends. We often talk to the people close to us, and they say, man, you are justified in feeling that way. Man, that person wronged you, wrong them back. Or, well, you're going through this trial, you know, you are justified in feeling this way. But when we look at our trials in the glory of the gospel, it produces thankfulness because Christ allows that in our lives. And that puts the full glory of God on display when we see Christ in the midst of our trial. And so the last section that I want to talk about is the perseverance section, which is verses 16 through 18. So in verse 16, where it says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. My friends, don't lose heart in carrying the gospel. Your outer self may be wasting away. You may be taking punches on the daily, but your inner self is being renewed by the Holy Spirit daily. And that is so much more worth it than embracing our trials on our own power. An interesting thing about jars of clay is that they are refined by fire. Yes, they are easily broken. Yes, they are ordinary. But as they embrace the heat of the fire, they become something new and something different than they were before. And we take a look at us. Yes, we are easily broken. Yes, we are ordinary. But when we embrace the heat of the fire and allow it to refine us, we are able to gain a whole new perspective on ourselves because of Christ. And we can't walk through this fire by ourselves. But Christ is the one who walks with us. through the fire and allows us to be refined. And Christ was right there in the thick of it, suffering on behalf of us. Christ took on the most immense amount of suffering for our sake. And because of that, he can relate to any trial and bring us through any trial that we face. And so we take a look at verse 17, where it says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Our trials themselves are hard to face on our own. But when our heart is firm in the Lord, indulged in his presence, we are able to gain an eternal mindset. And we take a look at Psalm 112, and I think it says it great here, where it says, "He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady, and he will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries." You see, the psalmist here is focused on God, and he's not afraid of this bad news or the bad things that come. His heart is firm in the Lord's presence. And because of that, he will look in triumph on his trials. But it's not him who's doing it. It's God who's getting him through these trials. The truth is that our affliction that we face on the daily is not worth comparing to anything else that you face, because it is preparing you for an eternal weight of glory. The truth is that our affliction that we face on the daily is not even worth comparing to anything else that you face, because it is preparing you for an eternal weight of glory. Take heart in that beautiful truth and do not lose heart in carrying his message, because the eternal glory far outweighs anything that this world could have to offer, good or bad. And lastly, as we focus on verse 18, where it says, "As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." So what does transient mean? When I looked it up, or when I read this, I didn't know what it meant, but I did look it up, and it means impermanent, and the things will pass away. You see, it's so extremely tempting to get wrapped up in the expectations of what this world thinks. But those things are seen. They are transient. They will pass away. So my friends, work on directing your focus on the eternal things. And so how do we do that? Well, it's the two most common things that you probably heard. But they are the two most important things that we need to hear, and they need to be drilled into our hearts. Read the word. When we cast our gaze on Christ, when we look at this, we are looking at Christ. And develop a consistent prayer life where you have the ability to talk to God one-on-one. Those things will allow you to focus on the eternal things rather than the things of this world. Colossians 3 says it best, where it says, "Therefore, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Because when we cast our gaze on Christ, who is in eternity, it allows us to carry the gospel with humility and perseverance. The joys and the glories of heaven are eternal, which means they last forever. And they far outweigh any glory that we could face here on this in this world. So let me ask you, where is your focus? On things above or here? When we cast our gaze on Christ, we will carry the gospel with humility and perseverance. My friends, carry the gospel with humility, looking at the glory of Christ and realizing that he has the power and he has the gift of his ministry, and he has given it to us. And we have a privilege to take part in that and sharing the gospel. For Christ's sake, we will be persecuted and we will go through trials. But be encouraged to know that even though you carry the death of Jesus in your body, you also carry the life of Jesus as well. And that puts the full glory of God on display and produces thankfulness. And lastly, persevere through the trials. Focus on the things that are eternal, because the eternal things that Christ gives are not worth comparing to any affliction that we face here in this world. Will you all pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much just for what you teach us in this passage, how we are jars of clay for you. God, teach us to carry the gospel with humility and perseverance through the good times and the bad times of life. God, may we live according to your word, and may we run to it in any affliction that we face, in any glory that we face. May we walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Pray all these things in your name. Amen. And so we're going to be singing a song called Broken Vessels. And I really want you guys to resonate on these lyrics where it says, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel, the world to see your life in me. May we sing out these lyrics and profess that God is the one who uses us as jars of clay to be a vessel out in the world in order that his life would be revealed in our lives.